when he wore, when Jesus wore, he washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. I welcome you all over the world. People are listening. Today is going to be an empowering hour. First, the latest on health and healing. I researched the world's original scientific literature so that you can have high-quality, good science, independent science, to live a longer and healthier life. Why do I cite all the studies and give the peer-reviewed journals and the institutions that this research occurred at? Because, historically, we've been led to believe that anything that those of us who offer a natural and non-toxic approach to living is considered unreliable, not really based upon good science. In point of fact, we find that the best information comes from independent science, not corporate science. There's a big difference, and finally people are waking up to this fact. So you can always rely that the information that I am sharing with you will not be challenged based upon its scientific veracity. Also today, I'm going to have a series of commentaries. I decided not to have a guest today to catch up. There's so many things that we should think about. Commentaries from a Countercurrents author, Gergeki Chengyu, on America, the world's number one sponsor of terrorism. Is that true or not? Is it just hyperbole? Is it just based upon someone who's angry? Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity would say someone like this clearly hates America. They're un-American. They shouldn't be taken seriously. They shouldn't be allowed to share their views. Let's hear what he has to say. Then I'm going to ask you for your feedback. The University of Private Enterprise. This is from Jacqueline Palmentio, and it's about the infusion of corporate cash, and lots of it, hundreds of millions of dollars, going to universities, specifically University of Berkeley, and how that has changed the type of scientific research conducted on campus. In just lay language, it means you give enough money to a university, do you get to dictate the research and the outcome? And then how does that help you? This is an interesting piece that shows you how British Petroleum played that game. From David Lindorf, the real terrorists are the corporate executives who bought the regulators. That's interesting. I was going to ask my guest yesterday about why the states cannot do more for the children. And so today I'll tell you the actual condition for children in the United States. It's a grim picture. Also, from our public health segment today, your tax dollars may buy 400,000 tons of sugar just to keep the prices artificially high. From Alliance for Natural Health. One more reason why, when you don't pay attention to where our money is being spent and our tax dollars go, it's almost always going to go to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. Again, today we will have open calls. You'll have a chance to call in and Twitter in. You can Twitter your comments, and those are received by our engineer. He'll bring them in to me. Otherwise, throughout our program, you can call at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And also, we have a lot of ways that you can listen to this program, download this program, and I'll share that with you in a few moments. But one thing is for sure, a lot of people are listening to this program all over the United States and Canada, and I believe in Mexico, I'm not 100% certain, by calling a phone number. That way they're no longer restricted to standing by a radio in their home or office. And I can't tell you how many people, school teachers, police officers, on their lunch breaks, they run out to their car and turn it on. Now, bus drivers, people traveling anywhere, you just dial this number and you can tune into the show or download any show that you missed. 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. The numbers of minutes listened to in the millions and millions of minutes. Tens of thousands of people listening over the telephone each day. Let's begin. A lot of people stop using, let's say, turbinado sugar, good idea, and went to agave. Not always a good idea, depending upon how processed the agave is. So then they went over to palm sugar, low glycemic index, organic, better. But almost everybody gave up maple syrup, thinking, well, it doesn't have anything in it. Not true. Here's some good news about maple syrup done at the University of Rhode Island. Quote, pure maple syrup can be right up there with red tea, red wine, flaxseed, and berries in its antioxidant capacity. There's pure maple syrup. Researchers at the University of Rhode Island found had 54 compounds and double the amount previously reported. And many of the antioxidants have an activity and potential for strong health benefits. In laboratory studies, they acted as anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory agents. Initial studies also suggest that maple compounds may inhibit enzymes relevant to type 2 diabetes. That's really good news. There was a report in the paper yesterday that showed that in New York State, we suffer one of the highest rates of diabetes in the world, and nearly 10% of the entire population has diabetes. Well, that means another at least 30% are pre-diabetic and don't know it. And then the cost of our total medical bills, $3 trillion. They said 10% of our entire medical bill is due to diabetes. That's $300 billion. So just imagine if we decided to live a healthier life. That would save us immediately all that money and all that suffering. So, pure organic maple syrup, enzymes inhibit type 2 diabetes. These findings were presented at the American Chemical Society in a day-long session examining the bioactive compounds found in natural sweeteners. And so once again, look for the organic maple syrup. Quote, we discovered that maple syrup is rich in polyphenols that inhibit enzymes that are involved in the conversion of carbohydrates to sugar. In fact, in preliminary studies, maple syrup had a greater enzyme inhibiting effect compared to several other healthy plant foods, such as berries, when tested on a dry weight basis. And five of the 54 antioxidants in maple syrup were identified for the first time in nature. They're unique to a natural sweetener. Among the five new compounds never before identified, one polyphenol is of particular interest. It is given the common name of Quebecol in honor of the province of Quebec. And this compound is created during the process of boiling down maple sap into maple sugar. So that's good. Now, when you live in an environment that is polluted, but not so obviously polluted, you don't pay attention to the air anymore because most of the harmful particulate matter you really don't see, but you're breathing it in, and anything you breathe in gets into your bloodstream. and then it gets to your heart. Recently on a trip to California, a person who was driving me on a shoot there is a professor at the university. His daughter had just returned the previous week from China, telling me that the pollution is so bad that there are days when you must literally wear a special type of breathing apparatus or you risk having serious respiratory and heart effects. And he was the one who gave me the report showing that at least a minimum of 1,200,000 Chinese die each year from air pollution. Well, that's obvious pollution from the coal burning that they do that causes their industries to create the cheap products that we buy in America. But what about air like New York and other cities? Here's the latest from the University of Michigan. And it's a strong indictment. It was published in PLOS Medicine magazine. They studied 5,300 people ages 45 to 84 from six metropolitan areas. And here's what the conclusions are. Quote, arteries may thicken faster in polluted air. What that means is that the long-term exposure to air pollution appears to speed up hardening of the arteries, and that leads to an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes. A new study shows that higher concentrations of fine particle material, what is called particulate, PM2.5, are linked to a faster thickening of the inner two layers of the common carotid artery. That's an important blood vessel that provides blood to the head, the neck, and the brain. And conversely, reductions in fine particulate air pollution over time are linked to slower progression of the blood vessel thickness. So the thickness of the blood vessel is an indicator of how much atherosclerosis is present in the arteries throughout the body. So when one of my friends said, what's the biggest difference when you're in New York working and at the office every day and night and versus when you're at your home down in Florida? And I said, there's the biggest difference right off the air. There's no industry. You're right within 12 miles of the ocean. You can smell the cleanliness, the water coming in off the Gulf, the Southern Gulf. It's clean air. And your eyes don't turn bloodshot. The first thing you notice after about a week is the congestion you may have had in your sinuses, it's gone. The capillaries that frequently are hemorrhaged because of pollutants, gone. Your eyes clear up, the whites of your eyes. Going out for a run feels completely different. I love running in Central Park. It's a great place. I think New York has so many wonderful things, but it also has counterbalancing negative things, high levels of stress. What we take as normal, which is dirty, grungy. Give you an idea. Walk down a very popular street, Broadway, and then walk down Fifth Street in Naples. It was as if you're transported to a completely different environment. Clean, slow, beautiful, unrushed, and the other dirty, scrungy, hyper-rushed. So, whenever you're looking for places in America to live, look for those that have a slower pace of life, for those places that are joyful just to be in. And then also appreciate those where you don't have to lock your doors. And when you can take a walk no matter what time of day or night without fear. Some of the things that we should pay attention to. Now, a lot of people don't eat potatoes. Big mistake. Potatoes are rich in alpha-lipoic acid, which is an intra and external antioxidant. It means it can actually go into your cells and help trap free radicals and protect the cell from aging. It's great as a nutrient, 400, 600 units of alpha-lipoic acid a day. Potatoes got it. Potatoes rich in potassium and also quality protein and is easy to digest. Not as French fries, that's not good, but as a potato, and if you cook it at lower temperatures and slower, you maintain a lot of its value. You even get vitamin C in a potato. Here's the latest research on the potato. And this is from Experimental Biology Annual Meeting. It says, new data shows that the white potatoes increase the intake of potassium. Quote, potassium-rich white potatoes, with or without the skin, are naturally free of fat, saturated fat and cholesterol, and have very little sodium. Consuming white potatoes is linked to increased intake of potassium, and that is good, because potassium can help your heart, and it also helps lower the blood pressure. So, now consider this, quote, 97% of Americans do not have adequate intake of potassium. So it's one way to help your health, help your heart, help your blood pressure, and have a nutrient-rich, very safe food to eat, the potato. Also, one soda a day. You're going to think, it can't be that bad. Yes, it can. Remember, everything is cumulative. This is from the Imperial College London, and it says the following, and this was published in their peer-reviewed journal over there. It says, drinking one can of soda a day can increase the risk of type 2 diabetes by 22%. Wow, 22%? One can, and now we wonder why we have an epidemic of adult diabetes in youngsters and teenagers. I did an introduction to a new book this morning. In fact, it was sent to the publisher today. It'll be out in the fall with a film that goes with it. And I gave a new math. Here's the new math. If you're a young person today and you're following your peers and the American culture in your lifestyle, if you're 20, you're 35 biologically. If you're 35, you're 55 biologically. And if you are living a healthy existence, as many of you are, and you're 40, you're 30. If you're 50, you're 35. If you're 65, you're about 45. If you're 75, you are about 55. I've taken about 3 years of doing a mathematical model on this based upon my own clinical experience with so many individuals. And I have a group of men and women that I'm currently working with who are at 40, 50, 60, 70, and 80. In all, virtually every case, the more that they do on a health scale that actually repairs the damage, prevents the damage, the younger they become biologically. Now, I'm not aware of anyone that ever died because of their chronological age. Everyone dies because of their biological age. And it's too complex to go into at this moment. That's why I spent 800 pages writing about it. I haven't talked about it, but I've taken every part of our life, including all of the different energy understandings of what happens to the aging process of any system that we are not authentically feeding in a constructive way. Now, that means creative energy, physical energy, intellectual energy, spiritual energy, nutritional energy, emotional energy, and these have all been historically thought not to exist. If you said to someone, you are an emotional age, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. What is your creative capacity? Who knows? how few people ever manifest and maintain and sustain their creative capacity. We have bits and pieces, moments, where we inspire to our highest self. And those are our remarkable moments, no matter what level it is. It could be everything from what we do to interface with the wonderful world with us to our sexuality. How many times have we manifested an absolute breakthrough to the highest levels that we were capable of in that moment? That's an energy. Do we sustain it? Do we create what we can? Do we think the way we should? Do we eat what we should? We can't even get the basics right. We don't even exercise or eat right. We don't even know how to breathe. We don't know how to talk. We don't know how to think. Look at all the ways we're dumbing down. There's a consequence at the biological and cellular level for every single thing we do. So I simply put all this together as a big puzzle and took each piece and explained it. But it's the basis of how I've been helping people for a long time. It's even the basis of this radio show. Imagine this. Imagine that I came on the air and all I did every day was talk about just nutrition, nothing else. At what point would you be on overload and have so much information you couldn't even process it? The normal takeaway from any given event in life is 5 points. And you think, wow, but you're sharing a lot more than 5. You're sharing 50. But if you give a certain percentage on multiple different areas, all of which are meant to provide a forum for people to rise up to a higher level and to exceed their precondition level, then it provides forums for growth. And the trouble is, in our hubris and in our conditioning and also in our ignorance, we'll have people sitting there condemning the establishment and railing against inequality and injustice. And they can be right on their political definition of their argument, and they're eating a hamburger, drinking a soda, or smoking a cigarette while they're railing. The contradictions also create a contradiction in the energy. And any time you contradict your energy, you block it. You put it in the off position. And you'll see that we only turn it on or off. And our mindset either turns it on or off. So what happens when we just start turning on all of these energies? And I've seen it. There's one fellow who's 75. He has the body of a 30-year-old. He can out there and run with him. And his biochemistry, because I'm doing blood workups also, his biochemistry is of a 25-year-old. So what age is he then? Is he 75? That society would say he's at and therefore predict his outcome? Or is he 35? That's why we need an entire new paradigm shift in consciousness to understand what we should be playing into. I'm going to go to a break, come back, and then we're going to do some commentaries. But as of this moment, our forum is open to you. Please feel free to call in and share your thoughts on anything that you find important. And our number is 888-874-4888. Now, here's the Twitter. Twitters can tweet comments or questions to at Dr. Dr. Gary Nall or at PRN with a little, I'm not into all this stuff. It has to be explained to me, that the line underneath radio. So I guess Dr. Garynull, that's the easiest one. Now, here's some exciting stuff. You can listen live on your computer from prn.fm, and then you click on listen live. You can tune in the website, search for PRN. You can download your computer from prn.fm to iTunes. You can listen on your mobile device from prn.fm, listen, and then Stitcher. STITCHER, which is Naps and TuneIn, TuneIn apps. We have all this posted, so this way people, just one of the services had 51 million downloads of the program alone. We have many different ways of listening. That's just one. So a lot of people are using different ways of listening. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose. I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. Tomorrow, 7 p.m., Woodstock Community Center. Going to be premiering Seeds of Death and a lecture and discussion afterwards, and hang around and have some good conversations with the people up there. And it's free. Look forward to seeing you. They just told me there are other places to download the show and listen. Audioport.com. Audio, A-U-D-I-O, port, P-O-R-T, audioport.com. TuneIn, T-U-N-I-N.com, Stitcher.com. Podbeam, podbean.com, iTunes.com, and PRFM. Whoa. This morning I went up to Google and I just wanted to check, and I put on Progressive Radio Network, and 19 million hits up there. Now let's go to Alex in New Jersey before I go to some of the commentaries and issues. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Gary. This is Alex from Jersey. My question to you, since you're on all these regimens and all, and health-minded as you are, what do you expect for yourself and other people's probability of life expectancy? How old would they be, probably? 120, 130?
Right now, we don't know because no one's done it.
Correct.
So I'm merely projecting ahead as to what is the likely outcome. What I don't give is a life expectancy for anyone because there's so many mitigating circumstances. If you, for example, were doing everything right with your diet and taking your supplements, but suddenly you had a family crisis, a divorce, a child is sick or dies, you go bankrupt, you're homeless. What can mitigate all that you're doing from that moment on is the level of stress hormones in your body. So the best laid plans can go askew if you are distressed and chronically distressed. So dealing with stress on a regular basis, not personalizing everything, is a crucial element.
But so, let's say if everything is okay, you deal with your stress, you live a pretty good life, let's say. I guess my question would be, what would be the biological expectancy of a human being taking care of themselves and health-wise?
That, again, I can't give you an exact date, and here's why. Because we're starting with damaged merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a frame-off restoration is?
A what?
Frame-off restoration.
No.
Okay, for those of us who love old cars, I love the 1950s and 40 cars. I think they were the best that America ever produced in the way of style, like the 57 Plymouth, the 57 Corvette. In any case,
okay.
Where did you get most of these? You went to a junkyard. You found an old battered up car. You took it back, and over the next 3 to 4 years, every single piece of that car was redone. It's called a restoration, but
correct.
It's a frame-off restoration where you literally rebuilt everything from scratch. Now, if you've ever had a 100-point, the highest it can get, frame-off restoration, it's as if you just took it off an assembly line. It's a wonderful experience. And a lot of, I don't know how many women do this, but a lot of guys do this because it's a great de-stressing to go in and work on something that you're creating and you're restoring something. Now, that doesn't mean that it will have the same life expectancy as the original car if the original car had been maintained perfectly, but it comes close. So when we're starting to work with people, we're already working with people that may not have done most of what they should have done right up until the age of 40, 50, 60, 70, even 80. So from that point forward, we're going to try to improve the quality of their life and to lengthen that lifespan. But it would be completely different if you're the 75-year-old man I'm working with, for example, and I'm working with five 75-year-old men. If earlier in his life he smoked and he drank a lot and he was under an enormous amount of stress his whole life and through multiple divorces and kids that hated him and a lot of other stuff, all of which prematurely aged the cell, the DNA. What we don't know is how advanced those cells were. The likelihood is that before we started working, he was nearing his lifespan. He was probably at the end of his life. And what has happened now is because of preventing further deterioration and de-stressing and rebuilding as much of the DNA as we can, he has probably gained an additional 10 quality years to his life. That's important, but it may be longer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much he was already damaged and how long that damage had occurred. So you must take into account what the person's DNA was when you started working with him. But if I were to start today from birth with someone, with a baby who lived their whole life in the ultimately healthy way, I see no reason that child could grow up and live 150 years in ideal health with no diseases.
Mm-hmm. So naturally, what would someone die of then?
In the end, you die because the biological mechanism, the telomeres, run out, the biological clock. What we do when we work with people, when I work with an individual, like I just worked with a man this morning and his daughter, he's 82 and thought he was living healthy because he had a glass of juice each day and because he went for a walk each day. But he wasn't doing all he could do, and now he's got some problems. If these problems are not corrected, he probably won't last another couple years. So we have to get out of the idea that what we're starting with is a good place, and most people, they're starting already at a deficit. A severe deficit. But if you haven't smoked, and if you haven't drank, and if you haven't been on these stupid high-protein diets, and if you haven't been eating all the pesticides in the world, you've gotten a big advantage. But the more stress you're under, the more you reduce your advantage.
You know, Gary, it's interesting that you're saying all this, because technically we can say that we all become junk cars at the junkyard, and basically what you're proposing here is that you can actually take most of us at a junkyard and restore back and at least get a lot out of our lives.
This morning we interviewed two people, both of whom would be dead today,
mm-hmm.
who are alive and well. It's not that we can help most people. We can help everybody
mm-hmm.
live a better life. We cannot reverse all diseases, but we can extend the quality of life, but you have to have someone who is compliant and understands what they're doing. It's an education more than a protocol. Without the education, the protocols are meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people have come to classes over the years, and yet you'll see them, you know, 6 months later, and they're back to old habits, and hence they're back to their old unhealthy state. It's the consistency, creating a sustainable life, meaning having something worth living for, and you honor it each day. If you're not happy with your life, what is the likelihood you're going to be honoring a healthy protocol?
Not at all.
You're not. But at the other end of that, to honor a healthy protocol, you also have to have a life that you value. that has value because of how it's living in balance and harmony with other people, with other groups, with other ethnicities and nature. There's a whole lot to this. That's why I said I want to get into it now.
Yes.
And it's taken me a long time to put it all together, and it'll be here in the fall. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you. God bless for all the great help for so many hundreds of thousands of people you have.
Thank you. And by the way, on Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning at 5th Avenue 90th Street, we will be there, a whole group. Boy, that group is growing and growing and growing. Because people want to start living a really healthy life. And the Natural Living and Running Walking Club and all of its coaches, Jimmy just retired from New York Police Department, and John Q, and Dolores Perry and Buzz Perry and all the others who help, they're all there with myself to encourage people to make healthier choices. We're not just about getting people in shape for the marathon. That's easy. We're interested in getting people to overcome illnesses, make healthier choices, and be a happier person. And by the way, this Monday evening, 7 o'clock, the members of the Natural Living and Walking Club, you'll be watching a brand new documentary here in the office. That's another thing we're doing every week of the year. So you got to start somewhere. So people get off their butt and get out there and get in shape. Doesn't cost you anything and could save you a lot. Let's say hello to Al from New York City. Hi, Al.
Oh, hi, Gary. I've talked to you before. One thing I'm puzzled is the following. I'll try to make it as concise as possible. I have learned a great deal from your shows and your education, and I've taken a lot of steps. And for a while, I actually improved myself considerably. I brought myself into close to my ideal weight. I was running every single day, 45 minutes an hour. I was also, in my own way, trying to become a better person, to learn about things, to follow my own dreams. And for a while, things seemed to work quite well. But all of a sudden, everything collapsed, job, relationship, living conditions. And even though I feel internally that I'm following my guidance, what I feel is correct, I don't see results happening very quickly. And I feel very uncomfortable not seeing things, you know, happening.
That's completely understandable. Go back to what I was just referring to. You can have everything going right and you hit a crisis. I just said exactly that, didn't I? You lose your job and you get a divorce or something happens. And then the stress of those issues overwhelm everything else you're doing. And that's because we personalize it. And one of the very important issues to address is how to depersonalize negatives.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we personalize it, we become what we personalize. The epigenetics of a negative thought becomes the epigenetic and genetic manifestation of an imbalanced gene. You therefore pathologize your own body with your own mind.
Okay.
So stop compounding negatives. All of us have negatives. I probably have more negatives happen to me than the average person has 10 times over because I'm willing to take more risks, try more things, push myself harder, do more. I was just thinking this morning, there was a period in the 1990s where I trained 100 miles a week. I was the thinnest I've ever been, the fastest I've ever been. And I won, I think, 81 straight championships, I think, in that period, even though not all were official because you had to have the paperwork, and I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was setting American and world records all the time. And some of those still are there on the official record books, but a lot weren't because they were never registered. But then one day I woke up and I went out to the park to do a simple race, a simple short race. Wouldn't it even been a trot for me? And I normally would go out at like a 5:05 pace or something. And I couldn't do an 8-minute pace. And now the week before I'd won the Empire State Games, my age is the first master, and that's a hard race. And here I got slower and slower and slower.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately the next day had all the full blood workups done, and nothing was wrong in my blood. Adrenal function, everything was perfect. The next week I went out again, and I couldn't do a jog around the park where I'd normally... we'd jog at maybe a 5:55 pace. I couldn't do a 9-minute pace. What had happened was I had imbalanced my chi. I had stressed my chi. Now, there's only one life force. All of this new age crap that you hear, this faux commercial spiritualism running off to yoga, let's go do this and meditate on our fifth chakra, it's all bull. And anyone who knows anything about life knows it. But those who pretend they want to know about life then pretend that there's actually some changes. Watch people go out there and do something and then think somehow they're transformed. That doesn't transform it. Transformation is a completely different process. It's a different road. And it's not done by having a commercial element to it, nor these supercilious little notions. There's only one life force, and here's how it works. If you overload it, you will never know until you've exhausted it that you were not living in balance. Now, that's true for work. It's true for emotions. And think of how many times people in the world need emotional feedback constantly as a loop. And if they don't get it, they become insecure, starts arguments. And then you realize they've exhausted their chi. Think of the people that don't know how to pull back from work and they exhaust themselves. Think of the people that don't know how to pull back from anything they do,
right,
including eating, drinking, gambling, watching television, on the internet. Any compulsion imbalances. All compulsions deform and pathologize the energy. So my lesson to learn was that I had to retreat at that time down to Texas and just to my ranch and just walk this road that was a mile running down the side of the property, where on one side was a neighbor's cows and horses and beautiful old trees, and that rebalanced my chi. And it didn't take a week, it took a year.
Wow.
And being close to nature, and I had to pull back, except for doing my radio show, I pulled back. Because if I didn't have the chi, I couldn't share it with others. And part of the healing process is what you're really doing in the healing process. Any healer, I don't care who they are, they can dress it up, they can ritualize it, but at the end of the day, you're simply allowing your energy to infuse itself in a positive way on a imbalance at the cellular level or the life level, which helps a person begin the healing process. But then all healing is innate healing. They have to heal themselves. And for that, you have to have the right mindset. You have to have the right discipline. You have to have the right desire to. Otherwise, if you just feel like a victim and throw yourself in front of someone to be healed, there's almost zero probability that you're going to have any authentic healing occur. Or if you're seeking healing in a desperate state, healing of your emotions, healing of your mind, healing of anything, the desperation creates a blocking. So even though you're going through a process of trying to do something, a ritual of showing up to do something, if you don't have the openness of the heart energy to do it, it is meaningless. You'll end up right back where you started. So this comes back to you, Al, that if you if you make any loss in your life more important in your life, then all you have is loss.
Right. But
now, hold on. No, there's no buts. What did I just say?
No. I heard that if you make any loss in your life more important than yourself, then that's wrong, right?
It's not wrong. It's not a moral judgment. It's just that you no longer have a life.
It's not helpful.
It's not, no, there's a difference. There's a difference between not being helpful and being harmful. Epigenetically, you become the fear that you manifest, the insecurity that you maintain, the depression that you feel and emote, the anxiety that you usher in each day. You become everything around you. Therefore, you even become the energy of your father and mother, what they were, the energy they shared with you. If they had doubt about you and your capacity, if they had disdain for you, if they had envy for you, if they had any negativity for you, that's the energy that you've been riding on, and that becomes your primary chi. Hard to imagine. So you've got to do a whole lot to establish your own life force instead of living through others' life force that they expected of you or they disdained from you. Mm-hmm. Even as a society, we said you live on the other side of the track, and suddenly a whole group of people who were not in the socioeconomic conditions that we were deemed not to have the potential to even have a quality of life because of the circumstance they grew up in. That is epigenetic. That's a social epigenetic energy that people will then take on. And even when it works against you, you still can't let go of it. How many times have we self-sabotaged trying to prove something by redeeming what we were dealt with by feeling if we overcame something, I'll prove to them, I'll show them. You prove nothing and show nothing to anyone in life. Anytime you compete against a system to prove your value, you have lost. And you become a double negative. Hence, you must rest the chi, you must surrender the need to have your life force determined by others' beliefs. And that's a hard thing for most people to do, because all you see in most people, all you hear in most people, all you hear in most conversations is a collective belief. And they're all suffering from it. And how little time do they ever give to thinking about, how did I get where I'm at? What are the consequences of what I do and my what I believe and what I put my time to? We all have the same 24 hours, but we don't all spend it the same way. So when you value something more than yourself, then you've already turned off your primary force.
Okay.
That's why I say, no matter what you've lost, it's not as essential as your life.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try to do that, especially the depersonalization. I feel that just, you know, I don't want to make a long story, but I want to be able to function as productively as possible until I get to where I'm less influenced by any kind of negativity, and I want to know how to depersonalize.
Okay, well, at a certain time, I can't anymore today, but within the near future, I will have a lecture. I haven't done a lecture in a while. I'll have a lecture on this very topic, how to re-empower yourself when those around you, your family, your society, your beliefs have actually caused your disempowerment. Okay?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Gary. Thank you.
All the best to you.
A great job.
All the best to you, Al. Let's say hello to Oliver from New York City. Hi, Oliver.
Yeah, hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Good. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment on what you said just before regarding the healthcare industry, and you're right. It has become a business. I've been a physical therapist for 34 years. I was trained in Europe, and I was told, you have 6 patients, make them better, and that's it. There was no profit involved. Now I've become a commodity myself. All I have to do is make sure my productivity stays up so they can pay my salary. And all I see now is we're using this electronic medical record system where I spend even more time on the tablets, on the computers, and less time with my patients.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that honesty with us.
Yeah, because I'm feeling to the point where it's disgusting. We can no longer provide good care to our patients, and we are run by administrators and accountants and bankers. That's all it is now. That's what medicine has become today.
Okay. Thanks, Oliver. We'll take just a couple more because I probably won't have time to get to the commentaries today, and they are important, but I'll get to them. Let's say hello to Bill from Long Island. Hi, Bill.
Yes. Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Very quickly, I just wanted to comment on something you said before with reference to the medical care system.
Yes.
People are falling under the misimpression that many of these tests that are done these days are under, they say it's under the guise of medical malpractice or defensive medicine, when in reality, it's just all profit motive. It's really not under defensive medicine, because 95% of the cases never go to trial. 95% of the cases get thrown out before they ever get to deposition stage. So we know this by statistics. So this idea that these cases, you know, that they're doing defensive medicine is totally false. Now, as far as the cost of the healthcare system, in Western Europe, the average cost of an MRI is $280. Here in America, it's $1,200. We are paying 3 and 4 times more for everything, including chemotherapy, by the way.
Okay, but you've made some important points. Here's the overriding message. Who's responsible for for all this overcharging and the exploitation of people's weaknesses and illnesses, it is our belief system. Remember, at the end of the day, the politicians are corrupt, the systems only work for themselves, because we still believe in them. So cancer, heart disease, diabetes is actually a disease of our belief system first, and then the mechanisms by which we can engorge ourselves to the point where we actually destroy our bodies, all without any hesitation of our health advocates, the Surgeon General, the U.S. Public Health Service, the FDA, none of these institutions, organizations, government bureaucracies, all of which are corrupt, give a damn about you. And the last thing you want to do is challenge the underlying belief that they have the knowledge, your interest at heart, to look after your best health. They don't. If we cared about American health, the first thing we would do is we would actually have a health program in the United States, a preventative program. We have none. If we cared about our children and their health, then we wouldn't allow the kind of products that are used and seen and promoted to our children. But we don't. What are the consequences of not caring about our children? Well, here are the actual statistics. 17 to 18 million children today are going to bed hungry. And that means that one in four children in the United States is living in constant food crisis. We are told repeatedly by the Bill O'Reillys and the other, you know, the other cheerleaders for American exceptionalism that we are the wealthiest nation in the world. Yes, then why is one out of every four children in the United States enrolled in a food stamp program? Why is it the average food stamp benefit breaks down to $4 a day? And there are those like the Sean Hannitys and the Glenn Becks who think that somehow you're exploiting a system because you have $4 a day. I'd like to see Bill O'Reilly live on $4 a day. We're being projected that 50% of all children will be on food stamps before they reach 18. That's 50%. Now, 57% of all children in the United States are currently living in homes that are considered low income or impoverished. That's 57%. We have a number of children at 2.8 million living on $2 or less a day. How is that possible? But it is. And also, when I was going to high school, there were no homeless students. And I went to the largest high school in West Virginia, Parkersburg High School. We had 5,000 students. Today, this is really hard to imagine. We have homeless students. Students that don't have a place to go after school. They have no home to go to. And we're dealing with more than a million students leave the school each day. We have 20 million children rely upon the meal they get in school each day, or they would go hungry. In Miami, 45% of all children are living in poverty. In Cleveland, 50%. And in Detroit, the worst in the United States, 60% of every single child there is living in poverty. So the next time someone starts talking about how good we are, how much we make, did they forget the children? Clearly they have. And that's unfortunate. Because we can only be as dynamic as we are concerned and caring for the least amongst us. But you wouldn't know that from the politicians, the human sleaze that represents the most powerful force on earth, Wall Street, Big Pharma, Big Agra, and of course, a big military-industrial complex, the Washington lobbyists, the politicians in Albany, the politicians in New York, the politicians in Washington. These are not the people who care about our children, but they sure care about themselves and their future. That's a belief system that is the disease. So we're treating the wrong end of this. Thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate your call. And that brings us up to the end of the program, and I thank everyone for joining us today. And again, you can download this show on iTunes. You can also download it on podbean.com, Stitcher, STITCHER.com, TuneIn, TuneIn.com, AudioPort.com, PRN.FM, lots of places. And we welcome you all the time. Now let's go to our talk back segment, and we're going to continue taking some calls at 888-874-4888. By the way, my daughter Shelley's cooking class, which is free, is filled for tonight and tomorrow, or Sunday. And if it goes well, and I get good feedback, and people learned a lot about raw food and gourmet cooking and food prep, she'll see about doing it again. I'll be in Woodstock tomorrow, and we are once again sold out for my showing Tuesday evening at 7:30 at down on 12th and 1st Avenue at the theater. And if anyone would call in, and please, if you're not coming, surrender your seats so someone can. Lou Ann Panessa, your turn.
Hello, Gary. I have a very interesting question from a woman in the audience. She thanked you very much. She said without you, she would not have challenged her own belief systems. And she says, I'm a single woman, and I don't go to bars. And her question is, in your opinion, what kind of social networking is there for people with progressive minds?
Well, there's a lot of individuals, many individuals in our society who have an idea that it's always joyful to be able to share the best that you are with other people. But the idea that one person's going to be all things to another person and fill the emptiness in their life, I believe, is one of the biggest mistakes we have been making for forever. I believe that the new awareness is that you find what parts of your life require the balancing of other people's energies, and then actively seek to have those individuals in your life so that they can encourage you and share with you so that you can find the joy and happiness, the passion, the pleasure, the creativity that you deserve. And what we should do, what idealistically we could do, is have someone in this audience create a site. And create a site, I would start off having a site where you ask people who share some common interest, maybe culture, going to plays, off-Broadway plays, Broadway plays, concerts, comedy clubs, movies. What kind of movies? Horror, sci-fi, love, drama, documentaries. And then once a week, those people who at least have that in common can go and enjoy something and then go out for a snack afterwards and socialize, so you get to know who these people are. That's a good way of at least seeing, are you in balance? And no one has to talk themselves into your life. You'll feel it. All you have to do is feel the energy of another person, and you'll know if you're in alignment with them or not. And that way, you may have people who would love once a week to go to a movie with another group of people. And then afterwards, share some of that socializing. Other people may want to go dancing. Other people may want to go to, botanical gardens. There's unlimited things you can do. You could have people that love to go, jogging together, or go sailing, go mountain climbing. But you have to start at one point where you're just being able to resonate with each other. Now, I'm not aware of, there are probably lots of sites where, there's a gazillion dating sites. And the unfortunate part is most of those people are rather desperate, and you're only going to see the best of a person in your initial contact, and then you have your relationship and you see the worst that they are. I believe that we should kind of set aside that for a period of time, look for friendships. If you look for the friendship, you're looking for something that can be a long, enriching quality. For every person that finds a dating site and finds someone to be with, it's probably 2% out of 100. But if you found people who feel that their life is whole on an emotional level, but there are areas they'd like to share with other people, then you're going to get a lot of people nice people, thoughtful people, exciting people. And at least, you know, you're sharing something. That's what I would suggest. So if someone wants to reach out, let them reach out to you and give them some ideas how to start a site and how to promote it, and let them start. That's what I would suggest.
Or, Gary, you could have a dance.
No.
Which you haven't had.
I'll have a dance in the middle of the summer because I haven't had a dance in a while, but right now I can't. My commitments to filming, I'm wrapping up a lot of important films. I'm very excited about this. But also we're out there trying to stop the genetic engineering steamrolling going on and starting activist groups at all the different state levels. And we're also doing the same thing on vaccines. So, but better than a dance is a way to network with people you can communicate with and see who's good and who's not good for you. And that's what I would suggest, all right?
Great.
So that's for the individuals to do on their own. That's for someone to have the courage to and the fortitude to get up there and do it. And that would be a good idea. Thanks a lot, Luann. And again, 90th Street and Fifth Avenue in Central Park on Sunday. Woodstock tomorrow, 7 p.m. for Seeds of Death. Looking forward to Woodstock Community Center. And Tuesday at a theater downtown. A lot of sharing going on. Let's say hello to you, Therese Lead. Hi, you, Therese.
Hello, Gary. Today, we're answering a four-word question. Where are you from? From an immigrant's point of view, it's a simple-sounding question, but it's loaded with meaning.
Good. Okay. Utrice Lee coming right now.